Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
And this hour on the programme, we have another election 2016 candidate interview. Today we're joined by 49-year-old Richard Falk, who's standing in the newly formed constituency of Douglas Central. Good afternoon, Richard, and welcome to the programme.
Hello.
First of all, set out your stall. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
My background is as an advertising copywriter. I'm also a published author, and my campaign is focusing very much on finance. I believe that the Isle of Man is about 4 years away from running out of cash reserves, at which point we will face complete disaster.
Well, yes, I've had a look through your manifesto, and there aren't many laughs in there. It's very serious.
It's not particularly cheerful, I agree.
No, I mean, it's very negative, actually. I mean, you're saying that we've got 4 years to get the thing right.
I believe we have, and what's interesting is that that claim has now permeated into the public consciousness. We had none other than Howard Quayle yesterday admitting the same thing. He's saying 5 years. But I'm pleased to say my message appears to have reached the Council of Ministers, and they are now admitting that we are very close to running out of reserves.
Wow, OK. Well, somebody's been telling me on my programme for a while that the Iron Man's bankrupt, and I've defended us and said that we're not, but you're suggesting...
Well, we're not yet, but we're heading for it. We will be if we don't change our ways.
And government would say that with things like the public sector pensions deficit, that they've taken steps now to rectify that and get that back on track.
They've taken the wrong steps. They've made it worse. They've actually voted to put more public money into it. The analogy I would use is that you don't repair a hole in a bucket by pouring in more water.
Okay.
What we need to do is we need to freeze benefits under that scheme at their present level, ensure that people get what they've already paid for, but put future contributions into a money purchase scheme.
Right.
So the liability cannot grow any further. Now, I've spoken to a number of civil servants and government employees on the doorstep, and by and large, they agree with me. They are genuinely worried that the government now will default on their pensions.
But that's what you're suggesting, surely. If you're saying that people shouldn't get the same benefits that they've signed up to with these schemes, then isn't that another form of default?
No, not at all, because what I'm stating is that the benefits they've already accrued must be paid, they must be guaranteed, we can't take that away from them. But going forward, we can't allow the liability to grow further. The total liability is over £3 billion, a figure I discovered buried in a bar graph when I stood in the Douglas East by-election last November. That figure is now in the public consciousness, and it is growing every day.
Mm. So the reserves, I mean, that's what the reserves are there for. They're there for a rainy day. Are you just saying that we're getting through them too quickly?
Absolutely. We've used more than half of them in 7 years. Since the VAT agreement was renegotiated in the UK's favour, we have burned through more than half of our reserves. They will be exhausted completely in 4 years' time.
Right. You also have got concerns about Brexit, about Britain leaving the EU. So what sort of impact do you think that's going to have on the Isle of Man?
It depends entirely on the deal that they negotiate. There are a number of options. The worst case scenario, probably from the UK's point of view, would be the Norway option, which is where they retain access to the single market. They continue to be governed by EU directives, and they continue to allow freedom of movement. That's one option. If that happened, it would probably have little to no effect on us. Alternatively, they could go for a hard Brexit, in which case they don't have access to the single market. They sell into and buy from Europe on World Trade Organization rules, and there is no further freedom of movement. And that could represent both an opportunity and a threat for us, depending on how we exploit it.
Yeah. Do you think that there are any opportunities that we can exploit?
Absolutely. I think if we could have one foot in with the UK and one foot in with the EU, and we'd be a tax-neutral conduit between the two, we could make a great deal of money.
Right. And is that a likely outcome, do you think, or are we too small to negotiate on our own behalf?
We can't legally negotiate on our own behalf. We're a dependent territory. First thing we need to do is get our finances in order. Once our finances are sustainable, we can then look at our constitutional position.
Well, you've also in your manifesto painted a bit of a bleak picture about what will happen if the money does run out in the Isle of Man. Talk me through that.
It's conjecture, but I believe that what would happen is we would have to go to the UK for a bailout. I very much doubt they would give us a bailout and allow us to continue as we are. The best case scenario would be that they would suspend Tynwald and they would put in an interim government of technocrats, which is what they did in Turks and Caicos when they suspected a corruption there. The worst case scenario is that the price would be the Isle of Man being rolled into the UK. You would end up paying UK personal and corporate tax. We would lose the finance industry, which is 34% of our GDP, 25% of all our jobs. We would lose the e-gaming sector, which is 17% of our GDP, and we would lose all the corporate service providers. We would have unemployment at a record level.
All right, well, politics is a serious game, and you're taking this all very seriously, and I understand that. Are there any lights at the end of the tunnel, as far as you can see? Have you got any answers to the problems?
Yes. First of all, we need to look at the public sector pension scheme. That's the biggest threat to us. We cannot allow that to grow anymore. We need to start being more proactive in the way we market the island. I think we've become very cowed by the hue and cry against tax havens. We are no longer a tax haven. We are a well-regulated, tax-neutral offshore jurisdiction. And I think we need to be aggressive about going out to the world saying we are regulated, we are low tax, and we are a great place to do business.
OK. And again, is that likely? Because it took many decades, probably, to be called a tax haven, probably rightly so at the time. Is that an easy thing to turn around? You're an advertising copywriter. You know how long it takes to change a negative message to a positive one.
I think the advantage we've got is that it is the truth. We are now better regulated in many ways than the United Kingdom. Certainly there will be critics of the Isle of Man. They have a certain political agenda. But nonetheless, we would be telling the truth. And I think a message that is based on truth is actually it's much easier to gain traction.
Do you think that the current administration's done a good job in terms of signing these agreements with other jurisdictions, or do you think it's done us a disservice?
I think they've done a good job on that. That's the one thing I think they have got right. They've kept us slightly ahead of the regulatory curve, and I think that was the right thing to do.
OK. You suggest freezing benefits and creating a money purchase scheme for future contributions. The scheme is being reformed to create sustainability, they say. You're still of the opinion that it's too little and too late and that more needs to be done on this?
No, it's more fundamental than that. I think they've done precisely the wrong thing. They've committed more public money to it. If you look at the projection they have, in 5 years' time, the deficit will be £100 million a year, which will have to be met out of taxpayers' funds.
Yeah.
What they're proposing to do is to have austerity for all on a permanent basis to fund this public sector pension scheme. That is completely unfair.
I think you suggest also it's a two-tier society.
It is. They are creating a two-tier society. They've cut the pensions for everybody else in order to fund this scheme. And even then, I don't think they will be able to meet their obligations. I think we are in danger of defaulting on the public sector pension scheme. That's completely unfair to people who've paid into it for years and have worked hard on behalf of the island.
OK. Well, the public sector pensions thing is one thing. I mean, other people also suggest that the size of government is just massively oversized.
It is.
Where would you cut people in that then?
We need to look at layers of management. We have far too many of them. Now, I haven't had the time to verify this figure, but I met a lady on the doorstep who works at the hospital, and she said that 70% of her colleagues are managerial and only 30% are clinical. As I say, I haven't verified that figure, but I can easily believe it. And if that is the case, it shows the kind of problem we're facing. We have too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
Isn't that the state of the world, though, now, in that there are so few people actually making widgets and there are so many more people who are actually monitoring the people who are making the widgets and counting them?
That's perfectly true. And that's fine, as long as you can afford it. We can't.
OK. Isn't it a double-edged sword, this idea of promoting ourselves as a low-tax jurisdiction? Wouldn't it attract scrutiny that might be less than helpful about our history?
We've already attracted plenty of scrutiny. There are people who have a political agenda against the Isle of Man, against other international finance centres. Their campaign will not go away, whatever we say or do.
OK. You say that the island needs MHKs with a clear plan of action. So, I mean, you've been very clear about what you think ought to happen as far as this public sector pensions. What other ideas have you got in terms of a plan of action for the next 5 years?
We need to start bringing inward investment. The island is depopulating at the moment. That's quite clear if you look at the state of the island. The figures may tell us that we have record GDP. And I think our GDP per capita nominally makes us the sixth richest nation on earth. But if you look at the state of Strand Street, if you look at our property market, that is clearly not the reality.
So what's happening? Is the money going in the wrong areas? Is that the problem here?
The problem, I think, is that we're depopulating.
OK. And how do you attract more people? I mean, is this a case of having to speculate to accumulate? Do we have to spend a lot of money to try and attract people to the island?
Well, we have an enterprise development fund, and I think we certainly do need to promote the island more on the international stage.
Yeah.
We need to do two things. We obviously need to cut our costs, but we also need to attract new business.
Okay. Government would say that they've been aware of that for years and have been trying to do that. They've diversified the economy into a lot of different areas. How well do you think they've done that?
They have successfully diversified the economy to an extent. If we compare ourselves to Jersey, finances 41% of their GDP. So we're not as vulnerable as Jersey is. They're actually in a worse financial position than we are, but nonetheless, we are in a dire position. Okay. And we urgently need inward investment.
Okay, and what about things like tourism? You say that you'd like to see a greater emphasis on tourism. I mean, a lot of candidates have said that, and my question is, what have we got in the Isle of Man that is so special that we could attract more people here?
What we have to offer is safety. I think we can expect a proliferation of terrorist incidents across Europe. People are going to be much more cautious about travelling outside the British Isles. What we can offer here is something unique. It's almost like going abroad without going abroad. It's perfectly safe. There are no risks here. We have stunning scenery. We have a beautiful heritage railway network. What we don't have is a lot of indoor attractions, and we would need to invest in that if we were to build the tourism sector.
Or much sunshine. I mean, surely families from the UK that want a summer break want to get sunshine guaranteed.
Absolutely. There's no point in marketing ourselves to the beach holiday brigade. We don't have what they want.
No, but we want families to come here, so, you know, steam trains and things, very nice, but, you know, surely the weather is a large player in whether or not we can increase tourism, isn't it?
It is. That's why I'm saying we need more indoor tourist attractions, right, because we do get quite a number of wet days, and we need something that people can do.
Where do you stand on Douglas Promenade?
I think the plans to refurbish it are ridiculously grandiose. They're extremely expensive, and we don't have the money to do that. I think all we need to do is resurface. We need to go as deep as we can to ensure that it's sustainable, that it will remain in place. It won't be washed away for decades to come, but we certainly don't need a wholesale remodelling. Nor do I like the plans that they're proposing. I think they're very unattractive, and they're completely inappropriate for a Victorian resort.
All right, well, you're a big fan of the horse trams, of course, aren't you?
The horse trams, obviously, are an important part of our railway network. They link the MER to the town centre.
Does anybody actually use it for that? Surely it's just a tourist attraction, the horse tram.
It is a tourist attraction, but we ignore rail enthusiasts at our peril. I've seen figures, they bring in £11 million of spending to the island. If we lose the horse trams, we will lose a large chunk of that income.
Okay, and you didn't like the idea of running them along the walkway or along the side of the road? You want them to stay where they are?
I think it makes sense to keep them where they are. The government actually, in its new scheme, wants to introduce traffic calming measures to the promenade. We already have a traffic calming measure. It's called the horse train.
Okay. You're critical of charges for utilities in the Isle of Man, electricity, water and sewerage. But you say the money's running out. So how do you square that? I mean, there's a bit of a dichotomy there that we've got no money, but you're saying that we ought to reduce costs on things.
Competition would be one answer. Certainly Manx Gas, I think, should face a competitor. It's not difficult to do. They would simply make a termination charge to their competitor for use of the pipework. Government could regulate that and ensure that it's fair. If we look at what happened with the mobile phone market, when Manx Telecom had a monopoly on mobiles, their charges were astronomical. When I moved to the island 11 years ago, it was 55 pence a minute to call a UK landline, 77 pence a minute to call a UK mobile on pay-as-you-go. Those figures are now much lower. I think they're about 25 pence a minute on pay-as-you-go, and they've actually got some reasonably decent contract deals. We can do the same with gas.
So competition. I mean, what about our lifeline sea and air services then? What do you think about Open Skies, for example, and the service that we get from the steam packet?
Open Skies, I think, is working reasonably well. If you look at the London market, there are problems with flights to London. There are a lot of delays. This is an issue that we need to look at, the performance side of it. But they have shaken themselves out into quite a sensible pattern. We have low-cost leisure flights at off-peak times to Gatwick with EasyJet, and we have peak time, much more expensive business flights to London City with BA, and that is precisely as it should be. Mm. With regard to sea services, I don't think we have enough business to support a competitor to the steam packet. If you compare their performance to that of, say, Condor Ferries, who serve the Channel Islands, we are very much better off. Condor Ferries' performance actually became so poor that at one point they had to call police to quell a riot among passengers.
Oh dear, we've not got to that yet, have we?
No, we're not.
All right, so you support the idea of modernising the domestic rating system as well and bringing in things like water meters. That'd be expensive, wouldn't it?
It would be expensive. The other alternative, of course, would be to make a per capita charge for water. It seems very strange to charge it on the basis of a property. Properties don't use water, people do. And it's extremely unfair that you could have a person on a fixed income living in a home, and next door you can have five adults living in an identical home, and they pay the same water charge. And if you look at rateable values, they bear no resemblance to market values. They seem to bear no resemblance to reality. I can think of cases of people who have £2 or 3 million homes that have lower rateable values than some fairly indifferent apartments along Douglas Promenade.
So you're saying that maybe something like a poll tax would work, but those words are scary to people.
For water, I think it should either be on a per capita basis or on a metered usage basis.
Water and sewerage, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In terms of rates, I would prefer to see a property tax based on real property values, rather than this rather strange system based on a nominal rental value in, I think, 1969.
Yeah,
it's quite peculiar.
Yeah, it is very peculiar. All right, well, what about things like housing in the Isle of Man? Do you see a problem there? What do you think about the quality of maybe public sector housing and private sector rental housing? Are we building enough starter homes, for example? What about things like the first-time buyer schemes? Do you have a point of view on any of those?
I think there is a shortage of quality housing for first-time buyers, and there's always going to be a shortage of public sector housing. I congratulate Douglas Council for the new builds they've done. They have some very attractive, some very well-specified new homes. In terms of the private sector, there's plenty of choice. Mm. And there is a glut of properties on the market. We certainly don't need to build any more apartments or any more private sector housing at this stage.
OK, it's just getting people into them. I mean, I saw the report from the UK recently that said that fewer people are actually buying houses now than for many, many decades. So that's not a problem in the Isle of Man at the moment, but could it become one?
We have such a glut of housing, it will not be a problem for many years. If you look at estate agents' websites, there are homes that have been on the market for the best part of a decade.
Yeah, but isn't that because people are not prepared to look at realistic sale prices?
Oh, yes, anything will sell at the right price. People, of course, may be in negative equity and they may not be in a position to do that.
All right, if you were elected in September, what sort of difference do you think that you could make as a single man? You're not allied to any of the political parties, for example. Do you think that one person can make a real difference?
I think I've already made a difference. I was the person who discovered the £3 billion figure for the public sector pensions liability. And within days of publishing that, during the by-election, Alf Cannon had questioned that figure in Tynwald, been told it's almost exactly correct. It was £3.03 billion at the time. We've now got Howard Quayle admitting that our reserves are a few years away from running out. I'm saying 4 years, he's saying five, but we're certainly very much in the same ballpark. Mm-hmm. If elected, what we would need is 13 people with a desire to reform the island. 11 can't do it, 13 can, and I'm hopeful of real change at this election.
I think there is going to be real change because a lot of our senior politicians have decided not to stand again.
Yes, and I think we know why.
Well, is that a good thing? Is it good that we've got a new broom? Sort of?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Do you not worry that maybe we've not got much experience or we're not likely to have much experience in the
I'm not
house?
Sure it's the right type of experience. I think traditionally MHKs had a fairly ceremonial role when we were getting up to £200 million more of VAT income than we actually deserved, it was very easy to run the country. I could easily run a country single-handed.
Because you could buy your way out of trouble.
Of course you could.
Yeah.
You could square the circle of constantly cutting taxes while delivering more services. Now we need people who can actually make the difficult decisions.
And what do you think about our method of Parliament? What about things like LegCo, for example, and whether or not the Chief Minister should be publicly elected?
I think the Legislative Council has become a significant block to change. I would like to see it abolished.
Completely?
Completely.
OK. So, what about Tynwald and the House of Keys as separate entities then? Or do you think that it should just be Tynwald who formed the government?
I wouldn't have a problem with a unicameral parliament. If you look at Jersey and Guernsey, they both have a unicameral system.
Yeah.
It's certainly not uncommon in smaller jurisdictions.
OK. And what sort of skills have you built up over your lifetime that you think will be useful in a new administration?
Well, I originally trained as an accountant. I dropped out. It wasn't what I wanted to do with my life, I realised. But it did teach me how to read a balance sheet and how to work with figures. That's obviously helpful. As an advertising copywriter, you learn to think outside the box. You learn to come up with ideas that are sometimes quite wacky. And then you pick the good ones and you make them work.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need some fresh thinking.
Do you think that maybe we're we're a little bit staid as far as government in the Isle of Man is concerned. We're a bit set in our ways, and maybe, you know, this is a good opportunity for a shake-up and maybe to take some more chances.
I think we do need to take a few risks.
Okay.
Absolutely we do. If you look at the situation we face, we need to be a lot more daring in our thinking.
Are there any easy wins, or has the time passed for those over the last 5 years?
None whatever. I had a lady on the doorstep ask me, what can you promise me? And the answer was, I have no gifts to bear.
Really?
Absolutely.
So you can't promise anything except that you're going to get stuck in it?
Well, I can't even promise that I will stop the island going bankrupt. I will certainly try.
Yeah.
We may be too far gone now. I met a gentleman on the doorstep the other day who said it's too late. Nothing you do will change the situation. And this is quite a senior business person who would be in a position to know, which worried me.
Oh.
We have to try.
Yeah, of course. Otherwise, it's all just doom and gloom, isn't it? Mm. Good. So, tell the people of Douglas Central why they should vote for you at the election.
They should vote for me because I intend to stop the island from going bankrupt and him to speak up about the financial problems we face, put forward solutions, and I will argue very tenaciously in the House of Keys to make sure that they're implemented.
OK, and like all the candidates, you're saying that we need to improve what we're doing as far as selling the island to investors. How can we do that? You know, what are we not doing now that we ought to be doing?
We're not aggressively promoting the message that we are a well-regulated, low-tax jurisdiction. We've become afraid of saying that we are low-tax, and that is a huge advantage, being low-tax. There's nothing wrong with having low taxes, nothing whatever, as long as you're well-regulated and you don't permit tax evasion. We are extremely well-regulated now.
Yeah, OK. What about, I mean, you're an advertising man. Do you think we ought to speculate to accumulate in terms of advertising the island and its benefits then? I mean, I remember years and years ago, I used to get on the train to London quite often, and I think it was Milton Keynes always had a big sort of poster site in the underground thing for the taxis. Should the Isle of Man be doing that kind of thing at maybe the London airports or whatever?
We should certainly be promoting ourselves. We would need to look carefully at the media mix, whether we want something quite as scattergun as posters, but we should certainly be using all possible channels to promote ourselves. We desperately need new businesses and new high-quality residents to come to the island.
Mm. And what USPs can we offer apart from low tax, or is that it?
No, that's certainly not it. We have beautiful scenery. We have a nicely low-key way of life. We're very different from Jersey, where there's a lot of conspicuous consumption. This is the place to come if you want to be surrounded by people who come here, who are wealthy but come here to work. They don't come here to show off. It's very safe. It's very peaceful. And, of course, things like the railway network can be a big hook. That's the thing that ultimately persuaded me to choose the Isle of Man.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I love vintage transport. A lot of people do. It's something quirky. It's different. I think we have a lot to offer. We're a large island, unlike Jersey or Guernsey. You don't feel yourself going stir-crazy here.
Yeah. And what about the mix of skills that we've got amongst the workforce? Is that going to be a problem in the future, do you think? You know, if you want to attract new businesses, have we got the workers here to be able to work in these new industries?
That's very hard to say. It depends entirely on the type of business we attract. If we don't have the skills on the island, hopefully we can import them. We have the work permit system. We can certainly make that possible.
Mm. Do you think that works, the work permit system?
I think it's worked to an extent. I had a lady say to me a couple of days ago that she's found a lot of Manx people are struggling to get jobs because employers appear to prefer immigrant workers. I haven't been able to check that out as of yet, but that was certainly a claim she made, and she felt that the work permit system should be tightened up and preference should be given to Manx-born people, and I can understand that perspective.
And I think that's the way that the system is supposed to work,
yes,
to be honest.
Absolutely. She said she doesn't think it is working. She thinks it's a little bit lax for the lower-level jobs, and that may very well be the case.
OK. And what other threats have we got? I mean, we've talked about the pensions and Brexit and things like that. What are the other problems that you'd like to see solved if we can get over this imminent financial crisis?
The financial crisis is the problem.
Yeah.
I think everything else is secondary to that. If we become a failed state, we are finished as an independent jurisdiction. So I'm focusing entirely on that. That is the problem we need to solve. And if we don't solve it, this could be the last House of Keys we ever elect.
Wow, it's a very bleak story. I mean, are you not worried about putting people off by being so hard-hitting about it?
I think somebody needs to tell the truth. That is very much the case. If we are not very careful, we will end up going to the UK for a bailout. I can't predict their reaction, but I wouldn't be in the slightest surprised if they said to us, we will only give you the money if you become part of the UK.
So you think that we can turn the situation, or you hope that we can,
turn the situation.
But you've spoken to people who think it's maybe too late already.
I have.
That's a scary thought,
actually. That is very, very frightening. I went home extremely depressed that evening.
All right. We'll leave it there. Candidate for Douglas Central, Richard Falk, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.